The last of the Federal-style houses was more rambling, less formal and kept up than any of the others. It bordered on scrub pine woods with very green, waist-high underbrush running through it. A high stockade fence had been built up as the ward's backyard. Bowditch, a fancy gold plaque by the front door said. The man who'd contacted the citizen reporter, Dr. Alan Shulman, met me on the front porch. Right off, Shulman informed me that this was an unusual and delicate situation for him. The hospital, he said, had only divulged information about patients a few times before, and that invariably had to do with court cases. But an assassination, he said, is somewhat extraordinary. We want to help. Shulman was very New Yorkerish, with curly, scraggly black hair. He wore the kind of black frame eyeglasses with little silver arrows in the corners. He was probably in his mid-30s with some kind of Brooklyn or Queens accent that was odd to my ear. Some men slouching inside behind steel-screened windows seemed to be finding us quite a curious combination to observe. A steady flow of collected rainwater rattled the drainpipe on the porch. It made it a little harder for Shulman and myself to hear one another's side of the argument that was developing. "I left my home around 5:15 this morning," I said in a quick, agitated bluegrass drawl. "I took an awful Southern Airways flight up to Kennedy Airport. Awful flight. Stopped at places like Dorin, Alabama. Then I drove an econo car out to God knows where, but I don't Long Island, and now you're not going to let me in to see Toy. Is that right, Dr. Shulman?" "That's right, isn't it?" Shulman just nodded the curly black head. Then he said something like this to me. "Ben Toy had a very bad, piss-poor night last night. He's been up and down since he got in here. I think he wants to get better now. I don't think he wants to kill himself right now. So maybe you can talk with him tomorrow, maybe even tonight. Not now, though." "Oh, shit," I shook my head. I loosened up my tie and a laugh snorted out through my nose. The laugh is a big flaw in my business style. I can't really take myself too seriously, and it shows. When Shulman laughed, too, I started to like him. He had a good way of laughing that was hard to stay pissed off at. I imagined he used it on all his patients. "Well, at least invite me in for some damn coffee," I grinned. The doctor took me into a back door through Bowditch's nurse's station. I caught a glimpse of nurses, some patients, and a lot of plexiglass surrounding the station. We entered another room, a wood-paneled conference room, and Shulman personally mixed me some Sanka. After some general small talk, he told me why he'd started to feel that Ben Toy was somehow involved in the murders of Jimmy Horn, Bert Poole, and Lieutenant Mart Wiesner. I told him why most of the people at the Citizen doubted it. Our reasons had to do with motion pictures of the Horn shooting. The films clearly showed young Poole shooting Horn in the chest and face. Alan Shulman's reasons had to do with gut feelings, and also with the nagging fact that the police would probably never remove Ben Toy from an institution to face trial. Like the man or not, I was not overly impressed with his theories. "Don't you worry," he assured me. "This story will be worth your time and airfare, if you handle it right." As part of the idea of getting my money's worth out of the trip, I drove about 6 miles south after leaving the hospital. I slipped into a pair of cutoffs in my rent-a-car, then went for my first swim in an ocean. If I'd known how little time I'd be having for the next 5 months, I would have squeezed even more out of the free afternoon.